Last week we asked a question and we said we had several answers and we did not give several answers. We gave three, I think, last week. You included gave one. And the question was this: the Gemara discusses the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which of course we are tomorrow night going to start fasting for it, as you just pointed out. And it said that we know that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why? Because of the three cardinal sins: idolatry, adultery, and murder. And what about the second one? The second one, they sat and learned Torah, they did mitzvahs, and they did chesed. So what did they do wrong? Where it says they had sinas chin and baseless hatred in their heart. So we asked the question last week, and we said, how can it be that you are doing charitable work and yet be considered a hater? That was the question last week. We had a couple answers. Go to rahavna.com. You will hear Eliezer's response. I think you were not edited out, I think so, on that one. I don't know for sure. Probably not. It was a good one. So we have different approaches. We had me saying that I did not speak Lashon Hara about Akiva for at least 2 hours. Akiva, I could say that again. I could say it again. No, it could be now we have to say a week in 2 hours. Okay. But that's the question we're starting with. How do you have the idea of being a hater, a sinas chinam in your heart, being a hater on what that interpretation means, and yet at the same time you consider a charitable person? So we're going to give an answer because Stephen's on, right? You said he's on? Here goes an answer we said years ago. He can't talk right now, but years ago when we started this class, we're going back to well over two decades ago. We began the Tuesday night class. Well over two decades ago, we started at one point doing halacha. Shockingly, I don't know if you guys weren't here yet. And at one point, we spent many weeks on the laws of charity. Now, we're going to swim between charity and goy mil chesed. Because they're the, kindness. What's goy mil chesed in English? I don't even know. Goy mil chesed is what? Not giving out kind. What did they say over here? Something about kindness. But something like that. And we're going to do it as well with charity. Because it's similar. They're under the same auspice. It's under the same umbrella as doing charitable ideas to someone and actually giving them tzedakah of charity. So we said then, which is a strange thing, that early on in the laws of charity, by the laws in Shulchan Aruch, right away on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, I forget now if it's a Taz or a Shach, he says like this, and it sets a set of laws: how much you have to give, to who do you have to give, when should you give it, in what manner of facial expressions it goes. If two people come to you, who goes first? It's a long list, and right away he says a trick question. He doesn't say it's a trick question. He says it's a fact. Who is the first person? This is before the laws of when he's actually discussing of who goes first. He starts with this as to what I said then 20 plus years ago to Stephen, is that I think he's starting with the fact that you think you know the laws of charity. You understand the first thing, you don't know anything we're talking about. Something which we say about almost every set of laws that exist. So we ask you, who is the first person you're responsible to give charity to? The first person is put in the first halacha on the side, which is not the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch doesn't discuss who you have to give to till five more chapters. But right away on the side, he says it right away. He quotes from a pasuk. Do you remember who it was? You personally. No. Me personally, without any reason. It has to be a type of person. So he said then, not bad. Kohen's not bad. Not bad. Poor person who's standing next to you. Orphan. Very good. Orphan.
Yeah, I would
Convert.
say your relative.
Relative. Very good.
What? Somebody in your city?
He's getting the closest. We're going from cold to warm to warmer. You gotta add to that a word.
Your parent.
No, what did you say?
What?
Ex-wife.
That's in the Gemara. Who's in
The
the
most, is that true? In the Gemara again, Daf Yomi? The first person you are supposed to give charity to is not your brother relative, not your, I don't know if you consider ex-wife a relative, not your wife, but your ex-wife. Which shows, according to me, that we have to reset our brain on what we think is called charitable or not. I don't know. Thankfully, a lot of people don't have that option, right? But I don't know how many people have that option. That's the first person they're giving charity to.
that considered charity or is that considered an
In the
obligation?
laws of tzedakah, oh, but he seems to say that's the first one you have to give. I guess it depends on how much you must give, and then extra become charity. Like we discussed then to get Stephen down a memory lane. We then spoke, let's say, about Chinese auctions. So we said then the laws of charity, as we said then, tuition. So let's say a Chinese auction, you pay a dollar and you potentially win an apartment Israel for $2 million. So could you take the dollar off the charity? So we said then that it's a statistical thing. You have to figure out on some level. What would you give on a regular day to buy a lottery ticket for $1, for $2 million? If you'd never buy a lottery ticket ever, and you put in the dollar, then probably 98% of that dollar is charity because you never give it for, you don't think you're going to win, you don't care to win, you never buy lottery, it's not your game, that's not your style. So by you giving the dollar, you really mean it for charity. Okay, you're doing it here because you think, okay, might as well get something back. But then 98% of it is real. On the other hand, some people, it's the opposite. They're only doing it for the apartment. And you have to work out tuition, let's say. So we said then, your bare minimum of tuition is whatever the bare minimum is. Let's say the bare minimum of a school is going to be bare minimum. They'll go down to $7,000. My school even does less. But let's say they'll go $7,000. And they're, but they ask everyone ideally for $18,000. So it could be the first $7,000 you can count as you cannot count at all, because that's your obligation, because you know that they're going to demand the $7,000. But above that might be considered charitable work. Same thing with buying an aliyah and shul. This whole concept we came up with is that there's a bare minimum that you're obligated. The obligation can't be counted to charity. So let's say you sign by the court of American law, which is not that works even, that you're going to give your wife $2,000 a month, but $2,000 a month doesn't cut it for your ex-wife, and you give her $2,500, the $500 for sure could be counted as charity, and that's what you have to give to first. And I'm telling you, just based on American law and Hebrew law, it could be the $2,000 counts also, because you don't know if American law is binding in Jewish law. But the ex-wife comes first. That's the main point what we're saying here. The ex-wife comes first, which means you have to know who to give to first. Because Eliezer was good last week, and he's again good this week. We'll tell you a story with a brother. I said this story over years ago as well. The Kapishnitzer Rebbe, the holy Kapishnitzer Rebbe, who the dynasty is not where it should be, there's a, whatever, because he passed away young, and then his son passed away young, and then some, none of the other sons, they wanted to take over. Someone else sold it. The famous Kapishnitzer Rebbe lived in Borough Park, very holy man. And at one point, he went to Manhattan to collect money. He's rarely ever collected money. He rarely ever left his Dalai Lamas, as they say. He comes to this guy, and the guy's flipping out. This guy in a big office in Manhattan back then. And he's like, he can't believe the Rebbe walked in. What are you doing here? What I got to help you with? He said, listen, I normally don't come. It's not my thing. You have to know right now, I have a very serious situation. Very serious situation. I need some money. He goes, well, listen, if you slept out to me, middle of the day, you never do that. Rabbi, the check's yours. What are we talking about here? He says, listen, I'm happy with your response. I'm happy with you realizing this is serious. But I got to tell it to you first, because whatever you're thinking right now, it's got to be a larger check. He starts talking about a person who's making a wedding, and they're an orphan, and this and that. He's going through a whole thing. The guy lost his job. And he's basically hinting to the guy, like, listen, I need a check means cover the wedding. Now, back then, weddings are cheaper than today, but he's like aggressive on this guy. This guy's sitting, he's unbelievable. He's like, you must know these people. He goes, yeah, the guy's really an impressive person. I know him personally, and I took on the obligation to help him with this wedding. And he's giving the whole speech. He's laying it on thick, which the Kapishnitzer Rebbe never did. Not that type of personality. And the guy's like, okay, just, I don't want to hear about it anymore. I'll just give it a check. No, I want to tell you all about this. And he keeps going, like, you should know that they have six kids, and one kid got sick. And he's like, listen, don't ruin my day. Let me just write the check out. Whatever the wedding costs, it's on me. And finally, one point, he said, okay, write it out. And the guy says, sure, thank you. Just stop ruining my day. Stop ruining my day. He writes out the number. I don't know, $30,000 back then. He goes, who to make the check out to? And he tells the guy, let's say the random name is Abramsky. He says, write it out to Abramsky. He's like, what is it, a joke? You go write it out to me? Goes, what are you up to? Like, your brother. Your brother's making a wedding. He was trying to show the guy, you're ready to write out a $30,000 check, which people will do. But the guy who is supposed to get it, your brother first, he's not writing a check to him for his wedding. That was the wealthy guy is the one who said the story over. The Rebbe didn't say the story over. The wealthy guy told people afterward that it really made an effect on him. He realized what the Rebbe would try to do, and he accomplished it. That it's easy to put your name on a building, but it's hard to give your brother some money. For many reasons. You know the guy's a bum when you were 4 years old and played soccer together and had a fight with each other. It's hard. But the obligation is what comes first. You got to know when it comes to, no one wants to hit us. The wealthy guys who are giving out charity don't want to hear, oh, you know, there's a system here. You have some leeway. Absolutely, absolutely. You're allowed to give to who you want, but within the confines of a system. So, answer number four, but really for this tonight, answer number one is going to be that, can you be considered a charitable person? Yes. Can you be considered a hater? I don't like the word hater so much for this specific answer, but it means that yes. That means you might be obligated to give charity to that guy who you don't like. That neighbor who always blocked your driveway, since he's proximity is close to you. Remember, it's possible. Forget Eretz Yisrael for a second, because that has separate laws. We all agree that if two poor people come to you, and one lives four doors down, and one lives in Utah, there's almost, again, there are other factors that go into it. It's very difficult concepts to work out completely. But yeah, odds are, if it's the same exact scenario, same need for the same purpose, for the same everything, odds are your guy four doors down comes before the guy in Utah, right? Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. But it's easy to give the guy in Utah. On too many people. Not everyone, too many people. It's easy to give the guy in Utah. I was once, it's a personal story, I probably shouldn't even say this. I once met a friend of mine who claims he does very well. Maybe I'll send this to him. And he has never, ever given me 5 cents for any of my publications. Not that he's for sure obligated. I might add that. I'm not saying my publications are the first one, but if this is going to be watched by people on RabbiAvda.com, then I would say yes. Just for the record, I'm not saying no, but okay. So the idea was, I was with this guy. We had like a public event, and we were doing it, and then the guy tells me something about charitable. He's going on and on. I'm like, did you ever study the laws of charity? Because, you know, you never gave me 10 cents for any of my books. He tells me, you know, he tells me about a certain book that came out from a guy in Israel. I just paid for the whole book. I gave the guy $25,000. The publisher saved him. He's like telling me, like, this is amazing. I said, let me ask him. I don't know who that guy is. I've heard of a guy, which is fine. Is it possible that my Sefer comes forward? Now, if someone has got in the hospital, again, different situation. A hospital might come before a book. Maybe, I'm saying maybe, because I have to sell the books. But if you're going book to a guy you never met in Israel, to mine, I don't know if you fulfill the commandment. I said, it could be at 120. When you're going to go upstairs at 120, God's going to tell you, I understand, why'd you give that guy the money and not to the guy who you grew up with?
Israel might be considered anything.
But Israel, a book. Yes, but that's what I told the guy. I said, go study laws. I can't give my own answer. But the point is the reality of it. It is difficult. We've brought down the story many times. The Panovich Rav was in a town going for the job as a Panovich Rav. It wasn't Panovich. He was born. I forgot right now offhand. And it was down to him and some other guy. The Panovich Rav was an uber talent. He created Panovich in the middle with a vision that people can't understand. He was an extraordinary person on 100 levels. Panovich, the famous yeshiva in Bnei Brak. No, he was just a hired hand there. The name was... Rav Shach, just a hired hand. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky from the greatest yeshivas ever, a hired hand. The name was Kahaneman, Rav Kahaneman. And he lost, if I remember correctly, 11 or 13 kids in the war. Yeah. And he didn't know. He was in Sweden at the time collecting, Switzerland, and he got lucky, and he survived. And he went to Israel, Palestine at the time, fine. And he gave up a lot. He used to tell people, I could have been the greatest scholar in the world. I gave it up to raise this funds. So he was looking for a job. He was a superstar. One of his great speeches he ever gave was in public at one of the dinners that honored him for building this edifice that was, for decades, the greatest yeshiva in Israel. Borderline. It was a Harvard of Eretz Yisrael for a long time. And he got up at the speech and he said, you don't understand what I gave up for you guys. You know, I could have been the Gal Hadar. I could have been the greatest scholar in generation, but I had to go around collecting. So when he wanted to get a job in a little town in Europe, he lost out to a guy. So he went over to the board and he said, like, come on, seriously, I gotta lose to this guy. Come on. Like, did he pay off? I'm for sure much more qualified for this job. And the guy told him what a musa shmuz. We remember you as a kid playing kugelach. What's kugelach? Jack and the bull, what do they call that thing? That little kid, in Yiddish is kugelach. We remember you playing kugelach. We can't hire you as a rabbi. Now that's hiring as a rabbi. It means when you know a guy as a kid, it's hard to respect him too much. I'm talking about charity right now. It works with charity as well. That means you have a lot of people out there who their first person, second, third, fourth, fifth. And by the way, something we discussed many moons ago, 20 plus years ago. The Yetzer Hara, evil inclination, knows that he is going to fight Jews on doing things. He's going to fight Jews to make, as we spoke about last week and 2 weeks ago, in Israel, to not get along with each other. Discord in Eretz Yisrael, he's into that. He's into the fact that he makes prayer extremely difficult because prayer is one of the keys to get out of this exile. It's not just difficult for you. It's not just difficult for you. It's difficult for everybody. Why? Because that's one of the keys to get out. See, yes, nobody's doing. Now, when it comes to charity, in our nature, in the DNA of every one of us in this room, since we come from Abraham, in our DNA is to give. That's why even non-religious Jews go into any hospital in New York City. Most of the hospitals are donated by Jewish people. That's just, I hope, right? I would say most. Most charitable organizations are massive organizations. Jews give money. It's in the DNA. So the Yetzer Hara, evil inclination, knows. He can't tell the average Jew, don't give money. He'll tell it to some people. But the average guy's not telling him, don't give money to. Can't, it won't work. So what he does is he twists it. He has to win the fight. His goal is to win the game. So what he does is, instead of saying, don't give it all, he tells you, give it to that guy. The wrong guy. Really, you should give it to this guy. Number one, two, three, four, five. Depends how good he is. He can get you 15 people first you got to give to. He gets you to give to number 16. So that's what it means. That he's fighting you to give to the wrong places, which applies to our answer. How is it possible to say someone's a goyim chesed, but he's a hater, is because he hates giving his brother charity. So he gives it, but he gets honored by that building. He gets honored by that building. That's the thing. And that's something that probably every person, I hope not, too many Jews, I don't want to talk too nice in the 9 days, too many Jews that I know, too many Jews you can go over to that are not wealthy and need something, someone sick, God forbid, or something like that, and they have relatives or neighbors, whatever their names are, who are extremely famous people for charitable organizations. Wrong place. Are you getting credit? Because the Talmud says they are considered. People learned. People did mitzvahs. Yes, they did chesed. Absolutely. I'm not diminishing it to nothing. The guy gives $1 million to put himself on a building in Utah, still gave $1 million to a building in Utah. No question about that. He's going to get credit. I'm not God to judge how much someone gets. But if we go to a rabbi and say, what are you supposed to give to? No, again, as an example, Utah. Could be Utah, it should be given to. I'm saying the idea. So this idea of answer number four is going to be, who you give it to is important. Who comes first is important. Therefore, you can be considered someone who does. Goyim chesed at the same time called tzinah chinam. Stop, we can do another class now. If you want to separate the classes, here goes another answer, which I think was came to me last week. I'm very into this answer. Very into this. Sometimes, again, all in the name of pre-9 Av, not negative against Jews at all, Chas v'Shalom, 9 days you have to speak nice about all the Jews. Here goes another important answer. It's called paralipsis. Now, the idea is like this. Sometimes, everyone here is going to probably experience this once in life, I would say. Sometimes, the goymel chesed, the charitable act, the act of kindness, the act that you're doing, that God said is an act of kindness, how do you look at this thing, that the guy is an act of kindness, but he's a hater? You figure, gives out money, and he's a hater. Same person. And therefore, what's the problem? I'm saying, no, two different people. Last week we said, I hate this guy and give this guy. I'm doing it a different thing now. The guy I'm giving to becomes the hater. Many answers. We're going to go to the one I'm thinking of now. Because sometimes when you do an act of kindness that you think is kindness, you create hate. Let me give you an example of someone told me this week, told her I'm going to quote her. A woman in my shul told me this, that she has three nieces. They were pre-Ozempic. Let's put it that way. Pre-Ozempic days. And they were having a very difficult time finding a spouse. And she's only an aunt. And she knows them since they're kids. She said at a certain point, she started noticing that they weren't showing up to any family events. It bothered her. They got married, nothing. Cut the family off, all three sisters. That's very strange. But she is neutral. So she started one time. She met them one time and says, I want to ask them, what's going on with you guys? All family events you don't show up to. And they said, I want to tell you something. When we were single, this other person in the family came over to us one day because of chesed, because of kindness, because to be a good person. And you know what they said? I want to keep this. I'm getting, just in case no one's not watching the camera, they don't see all the comments that are being looked at me. But basically, they exposed. Now, do you think a girl, pick an age, 23, is extremely, should go on a diet? You don't think she knows it herself? When the person comes over to you in the name of goodness and says, you know, you got to lose a lot of weight if you want to get married. The girl said, now, you came to do charity. You are being goyimul chesed. You are doing something good. Maybe.
No.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Because you're creating hatred. I want to say that the giving of the chesed created the hatred. I said the story last week.
That's chesed. So that's who said that?
Right. Let me go a step. Let me change it. My wife was at a shiva call last week. I'm trying to change a couple things. Of a child who passed away. A child who was born sickly. Is that a word, sickly? Born sickly. 6 years. Okay. Got to keep it vague. And the father was, in Yiddish, they call it ibegegeben. Over giving to this kid, dedicated, nonstop, not ignoring other kids, but recognized this kid needed a lot of extra physical attention, mental, emotional, working nonstop. We have a blessing, we say, when someone's child turns 13. The phrase is Baruch Shepaturani, which means the father officially, until 13 years old, gets punished for the child's crimes. So if a 6-year-old is stealing, not keeping Shabbos, and the father has the ability, it's a lot of obvious points, he's somewhat responsible. But at 13 years old, the kid's on his own. So a father makes a blessing by the Torah. Every father, when the kid turns 13, thank you for me being relieved of this situation. Now I fend for myself, you fend for yourself. That's basically how it goes. I'm sure Rabbi Raskin's in the background gave a lot of drushes about this. And this guy is sitting, and this guy is sitting recently, sitting Shiva, what do you call it? Morning with you. And this guy comes in, because he's a good person. He's coming to help out the mourner. He's maybe bringing a lock spread, right? Because he's that guy. He's the guy who wants to be seen given the lock spread. And he goes over and he wants to make the guy feel good. You know, you always want to make the guy feel good. Tells him, you now can make the blessing, Baruch Shepatrani, that like you're relieved of this pressure. Father was very upset. Very upset. Now, I don't think the guy who came was a purposely mean-spirited, pick all the words you're thinking. I hope not. I hope not. But this positive act, which you would say maybe is a mitzvah, also not again a mitzvah. Showing up is not the mitzvah. I don't know. Okay.
That's why
you're not supposed to talk until the mourner talks to you. Sadly, most people, again, we don't want to speak against Jews in the 9 days. The sad thing is that people who are in mourning, sadly to say, almost every single one will tell you some horrifying statements. I'm sure. I have big news to tell you. I'm coming out of the closet. I was never an older single girl in my life. Never. No idea what it means. I was never an oldest single boy in my life. It depends on people thought I was old. I didn't think I was old. But I was never an oldest single girl. Oldest single girls will tell you that the amount of insensitive comments that they're given is endless. All in the name of doing good. Now, to be consistent, because maybe we'll do more answers next week, but to be consistent as well, is that this applies potentially to all three of these things. The Talmud said that what happened, they were in the second base of Migdash, they were Isaac B'Torah, they were delving into Torah study, Uva Mitzvahs, they were busy with Mitzvahs, and Gemilas Chasadim, and Gemilas Chasadim. Why was the temple destroyed? Because of Sinas Chinam. I'm only giving the example now of Gemilas Chasadim, but let me add to the two. There are times, hopefully not anybody we know, hopefully Mashiach will come and we'll celebrate Tisha B'Av, but there are times that Torah study can create animosity from people. It could be on the simplest case, which is rarely happens, but people have it. People walk into a yeshiva of guys learning, and they hear two chavrusas talking to each other. I'm like, the guy calls him dumb, stupid. You're wrong. I can't believe how krum means how not straight thinker you are. They're very aggressive. Sometimes they'll say it on great rabbis. I can't believe this rabbi said this. He's so stupid, right? But and people can watch this and go crazy. And the way people talk, I'm not. I learn with my father every morning, and at times, there's one guy in the synagogue who always comes over to him and says, "Whoa, you're real such a father." But anyway, the idea is that sometimes even Torah study, that's the simplest way. It also creates sometimes, God forbid, in very few, hopefully, people create a certain arrogance on how they treat the non-scholarly people. Sometimes the fact that you're that good in Torah study and you do something wrong, because of your Torah study, it makes it look worse. That means if Moshe Havna, who's not a scholar, would say something bad to Akiva, Akiva would say, "Oh, Moshe Havna, he's a bum." But then, some people think Moshe Havna is a scholar. Takiva would say, "Well, how do you speak like that?" Or Yedidya would say, "Rabbi Havna, how do you speak that Takiva?" Then it becomes a problem. So sometimes the Torah study, directly, indirectly, to the guy you're talking to the guy's listening, a million different ways, the Torah study creates hatred. Creates the hatred. Because if your guy wasn't studying, you wouldn't have the situation. He wouldn't be as arrogant. His words wouldn't count as much. All of these things go into play. When the rabbi speaks this way, it comes out worse. As well, it says mitzvahs. Sometimes people are properly delving, it's not the right word for mitzvahs, but whatever the word is, busy, properly performing mitzvahs, but their performing mitzvahs creates animosity. Easy example, easiest one you give in shul always, is that a guy has a set seat. He has a set seat for davening, and he came 3 minutes late, and to get to this seat, he has to go through that door, and Yedidya might be in the way if there's no room back here. So what does the guy do? He bumps into Yedidya, move out of my way, steps on his toe, or worse, Yedidya's in the guy's seat, he comes out, "What are you doing in my seat? What are you, stupid? What are you doing in my seat? You see me sit here every day." Whatever reason it might be. So he's doing a mitzvah to go sit in his proper seat. That's davening, it's an easy one. But that creates animosity. So instead of saying it's one person to two people, or one-on-one, it's creating that situation. Sometimes, and that's what it said, that's what the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed about. People were doing Torah, they were doing mitzvahs, they were going to houses of mourning, they were doing all these things. But sadly to say, the repercussions, the results of those things was creating Sinas Chinam. And we have to recognize that. And we're going to extend it out because it's right before Tisha B'Av. We all know this, Kiva says all the time, we're all Jews, we have to not create animosity among other nations as well.
That's for Shalom, that's happening today.
Rabbi Schwab. So his rabbi, one time a person called him, it was either him or his brother, he had a brother a month ago, I think it was him. And a person called him and said, I'm going into court tomorrow, and what's your first piece of advice? What I should do? What did he say? Shave your beard, cut your face, take the yarmulke off. I don't know exactly, I might be exaggerating some of the words, but that was his first thing. You're going in public and you're being accused of a serious crime. Don't look like one of us. That's your first, forget about kosher food. I don't know if he said those words. But his point was, know what you look like. So as Jews.
Is that good or bad thing, what he said?
He was saying that what I'm saying as a Torah scholar, you have to be extra careful not to create animosity. The Torah, the guy who's doing mitzvahs has to be extra careful not to create animosity. The guy visiting the sick, visiting the mourning, has to make sure not to create animosity. But that's what creates. So the same thing as the Jews as a whole have to realize not to create animosity.
So when he goes to court, he says, "Shave your beard, take off your yarmulke, and shave your face." Is that a joke? Is he really said that?
He really said that. Because he was telling the guy that if you're going to walk in, then the newspaper can say, "Religious Jew Look what they always do, right? Like what happens all the time, sadly to say.
Saying like you're not even really just Jews.
If you're doing it, you by definition.
By the way, I don't know. Yeah, that's how you always talk. Could be. I want this camera there. Could be he was also telling the guy, stop thinking you're that religious. If you could do X, Y, Z, not only you shouldn't represent me, you can't represent me. You don't exist that way anymore. That's not a religious Jew. But you can't look that way. So the idea is now, I forgot what I said. The first answer was the guy is doing everything right, but he's wrong on a detail. He's wrong on a detail. He gave his cousin instead of giving his brother. He gave Utah instead of giving New York. Whatever that thing is. He's doing a lot of proper things, but in the end, he's still a hater. Not that he's a hater means he's doing it wrong. He's the hater because he won't give it to his own brother. Now we're saying no. The guy's doing all these things. He's creating the hatred on other people. Other people now becoming haters. Hopefully, as they always say from the Kleisenberger, we have other answers. Maybe we should do this again next week. Maybe next week. We gave three last week, two this week. Hopefully, we all do, instead of sinas chinam, that means baseless hatred, we do baseless love, and we celebrate in Jerusalem tomorrow night.
Amen.